Thank you, Judy, and praise the Lord. Now, open your Bibles here this morning, Luke 19. We'll start there and end up moving a little further through the book of Luke here. But Luke 19 is where we'll start here this morning. And top of my message here this morning is the cross, redemption completed. The cross and redemption completed. Luke chapter 19, and the passage begins there in verse 28, the triumphal entry of Jesus, and we'll pick up the reading here. Verse 33, and as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And he said to them, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus and cast their garments upon the colt or the donkey, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh even to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and Father, I thank you that it's true, and every word of God is righteous and true altogether. And Father, I pray this morning as we consider the triumphal entry and the work on the cross as believers. Father, may you speak to our heart in a fresh and new way. Thank you for the Spirit of God that leads us and guides us into all truth. Father, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and your word. And Father, may you bring glory and your honor to yourself here this morning. Thank you each one that's here, Lord. Thank you for those that have joined us by live stream. And Father, I pray that your blessing would be upon us as we look in your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. You know, this is a high point for the disciples. Jesus Christ is, he's riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. Now, have you ever noticed on a donkey, did you ever notice that the cross is on the back of a donkey? Did you ever notice that? You ever took notice of that? Why it's there? Maybe it's one of those questions I'll get to heaven and ask God, God, did you really put that there just so when Jesus rode that cross on the back of the donkey would be there? We'll find out one day, but right now it's there. And when Jesus got on that donkey and rode into Jerusalem, he was making a declaration. He was saying, here I am, the King. Now, if you look here in this verse, in verse 37, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty what? Works that they had seen. Now, give me some of the mighty works that Jesus seen. Well, he walked on water. He fed the 5,000. Then Bartimaeus the see. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, we could go on and on the mighty works of God. No man has ever done like this. Also, you know, remember the time that the scribes and Pharisees sent some of the men to arrest Jesus, and they came back and they said, why don't you arrest him? And they said, no man ever spake like this man. They couldn't do it. They listened to him and they couldn't arrest him. They couldn't do it. And, you know, at this point in the history, the Jewish people could have opened their arms and said to the king, come, rule over us. He was presenting himself as a king, the triumphal entry. He was saying to them, I am your king. The Pharisees in verse 30, they couldn't quite get a handle on this man that said he was the son of what? The son of God. They couldn't quite wrap their hands around this man that he did all these wonderful works, but they couldn't understand how he could be the son of God. Now, the person of Christ, we know from Scripture, Mary was a virgin when she conceived Christ. Now, we as mankind here, we're descendants of Adam. Do we have a sinful nature? We have a sinful nature. And but Jesus had no sinful nature. God was his Father. That's why he could live a life here on earth that we could never live. And, you know, but in the Passover, the lamb that they were to slay for the covering of their house, they had to set this lamb aside for 7 days and examine it, and to see if this lamb had any blemishes in it. You know, when Jesus was questioned just before his crucifixion in the temple. They kept nailing him question after question after question. And he says, which of you convinces me of sin? Which of you point out my sin? They couldn't do it. But he was that Lamb of God that was being examined to see if there was any sin in him. They couldn't find any fault in him. Matter of fact, he actually turned the tables on them at one point and said, I got a question for you. You were throwing all these questions at me. How did David call him Lord if he's his son? And they couldn't answer him. They didn't know how. We understand because he's the Son of God. But they couldn't understand that. And they didn't ask him any more questions after that. Well, this Jesus, in this time here, as Jesus came, he presented himself as a king. And very great moment here. And the Pharisees, they wanted the disciples, you just be quiet here. Jesus said, you know, if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. This praise to God. You know, he made this presentation, but verse 41, when he came near, he beheld the city. And what's those next three words there in verse 41? What did he do? He wept over it. You know, the thing about God, eternity past, eternity future, he knows all things. I mean, God stands above time and creation. He can look here, he can look here, he can look there. He sees it all. We're just like the little kid looking at a parade through a hole in the fence. All he sees what's right in front of us. God's God. He sees everything. Same time. And as Jesus looked down the corridor of time here, he said, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, I am offering myself to you. I am giving myself as your king. But he knew they wouldn't embrace it. But now they are hid from thine eyes. You're not going to see it, although you have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground, thy children within thee, and they shall not leave one stone upon another. Do you know when that happened? Yeah, 70 AD, just like he said, just like he said. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. If they had embraced the king and received him, the peace that would have come to them. Well, turn in your Bibles here to Luke 23 here. And from that moment moving forward, the chief priests and scribes, they held a council together how they might arrest him. And during this time, Judas went to them and said, hey, you want Jesus? What will you give me if you... betray him to you. And he agreed on 30 pieces of silver, price of a slave. And Jesus was arrested and in the garden. Things moving forward here. Verse 47, while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto Judas that betray him, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? You know, just the treachery of Judas. When they were about him that would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them that smote the servant of the high priest, that was Peter, he cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered aloud, suffer ye thus far. This is okay. It's under control. Touch his ear and he healed him. And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out against a thief with swords and clubs? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me, but this is your hour. And the power of what? Of darkness. The power of darkness. Why did Jesus have to go through all this? Why did he go to the cross? Why did he allow himself? You know, they tried to take him, but he just passed through the midst of them before. Why now? Why the cross? He declared himself to be king, but they refused him. Why the cross? The person, the Son of God, without sin. Turn the book of Acts here for a moment. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 23 of Acts 2. Him, being Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of who? Of God. God had a plan here. God had a plan. Now, when the power of darkness was at its worst, the power of God was at its best, because God knew that Jesus was going to bear the sin of the world. John the Baptist said, behold, what? The Lamb of God that takes away what? The sin of the world. Determined foreknowledge of God. God knew how this was going to play out. Satan was at his worst, but God was at his best, working it for the good of mankind. So Jesus allowed himself to be arrested, and the power of darkness, Luke chapter 22, and verse 66, soon as it was day, the elders and people and chief priests and scribes came together and led him to their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Luke 22:66. Tell us. And Jesus said, if I tell you, you won't believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man. That term, Son of Man, that's a messianic title from the book of Daniel. As soon as he said Son of Man, they knew who he was talking about. As soon as the Son of Man shall sit on the right hand of the power of God. And they said unto him, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. It is as you say, I am. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Because he was the Son of God. Not because he did miracles, although he did many. Not because he was wiser than they were and they were irritated that he made them look foolish. But he said, I'm the Son of God. I am the Son of God. Well, Pilate tried to release him, said, I find no fault with this man. Verse 14 of chapter 23, Pilate said, you have brought this man to me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I've examined him before you and found no fault in this man, touching those things where you accuse him. Nor yet Herod, for I sent him to Herod. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Therefore I'll chasten him and release him. For of necessity it must release unto one at the feast. And they all cried out in verse 18 at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. Now, when it comes to the cross, why did Jesus die on the cross? He was our sin bearer, our substitute. Now, Barabbas should have been on the cross. The Bible says he was what? A murderer, an insurrectionist. He worked against the government to rebel. Barabbas should have been on the cross. Now, you're Barabbas, and you're in your jail cell, and somebody comes with clanking with keys, and ch-ch, and then Barabbas says through the bars, what are you doing? You're a free man. What do you mean I'm a free man? Well, I don't know. This guy Jesus is going on the cross, and the Pilate said, you're a free man. You mean this guy Jesus is taking my place? Yeah, he's taking your place. You're free. Now, if you were Barabbas, how would you feel? When you walked out of there and looked at that cross that day and saw that man in the middle hanging there, and you knew you should have been there, how would you feel? You know, it's called substitutionary atonement. No, it's Jesus, our substitute. Now, we're sinners, are we not? Have we broken God's law? Have we not? Should we have been hanging on that cross just like Barabbas should have been hung on that cross? Absolutely. But you know what Jesus did? He stepped in front of the wrath of God and said, God, punish me, not them. Make me sin, not them. I'll pay their price, not them. The person and the presentation, the plan here, Jesus was our sin bearer. And away with this man and release unto Barabbas, and who for sedition in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again, but they cried out, crucify him, crucify him, innocent man. Why? What evil has he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chase him, let him go. But they were instant with loud voices, and Pilate was caught in this dilemma. He looked this way, and all these Jews would riot in his city, and he was a man that's supposed to keep peace. And he looked this way, just one man, and he said, as a politician, he did what was politically correct. This man's going to die, and I'm going to get these guys off my back, and I'm going to have peace in the town. He just did what was politically correct, but morally wrong. That was Pilate. He gave in to their demands. Verse 24, Pilate gave sentence as it should be required, released unto him, that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired, but delivered Jesus to their will. As they led him away, they lay hold of one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. Where is a Cyrenian? Where is that at? That's in Africa. This man traveled 800 miles to be at the Passover. 800 miles. And you know what? Roman, they could... Remember when Jesus says if he compels you to go a mile, you go with him 2 miles? Romans could enlist you to help them with their burdens. And that was part of Roman law. They could just grab you out of a crowd, you're going to do this. And they grabbed Simeon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, laid on the cross, and they buried after Jesus. Now, when a criminal was convicted, part of the shame was dragging that cross through the town to the place of crucifixion, the shame. Why couldn't Jesus carry that cross? He had been scourged, beaten, whipped, crown of thorns placed on his head, robe put around him. Whole night of brutality. How much blood did he lose? Pretty weak after all the beating. You know, some men died just from the scourging. You know, the cord that they scourge you with had bones and metal in it, and the whip, when it hit your side, that would come around and wrap you, and then when they pulled it back, it just tear your flesh out. Some people, their insides were exposed. Just from the beating alone, they died. And Jesus couldn't bear the cross because he took all that punishment for you and for me. One thing about the crucifixion story, if you get an injury and you are so traumatized so hard, you know what people do sometimes? They pass out. They have such a trauma that they're so hurt, they just pass out from pain. They're gone. You don't read Jesus passing out from the pain. You know why? Because every bit of that was meant for him to be experienced. The wrath of God. The wrath of God that he experienced. Verse 27, there following him a great company of people and of women, and which also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus turning unto them, saying, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs which never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. And then they shall begin to say to them on the mountains, fall on us, and the hills cover us. For they do these things in a green tree. What shall be done in the dry? Now, those verses, look at verse 34. When Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, when Jerusalem fell in AD 70, God was punishing the Jewish people for rejection of the Messiah. Temple worship was done. Sometimes God will withhold. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. That was a moment in time that they had time to repent and to think about what was unfolding before them. God gave them a space of time, but ultimately they were dealt with for the rejection of their Messiah. You know, Jesus had seven sayings on the cross, which he said, and this is one of them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiments and cast lots. And that's from Psalm 22, verse 17. They parted his raiments. You know, Luke includes a story that is really very interesting here in verse 35. And the people stood also beholding the rulers with him, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in the letters of the Greek, Latin, and of Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. You know, that inscription, what was written above him on the cross, that was what he was guilty of. The crime where they were crucified was written there above the cross. Whatever the criminal, if he was a murderer, he said, this man's a murderer. Whatever he did was put there. And Pilate couldn't put anything there because there was no crime. He just said, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, verse 40, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into what? Your kingdom. Two men, did they have equal opportunity? They sure did. Well, the one railed, the other one looked at the situation and said, that man in the middle has done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, how many deathbed conversions are there in the Bible? How many? Just one. Why is there one? So men won't despair. Can somebody get saved at their last breath in a hospital bed just before they go out into eternity? Can they? Absolutely. But why is there only one? So men don't presume, because you don't know the day you're going and you don't mock God. If God's knocking on the door of your heart, what should you say? Come in. There's only one. Only one. The thief on the cross, there's hope for anybody. And that's what Jesus is doing. Even to his last breath, he said to that man on the cross, Today you shall be with me in paradise. And that gives us hope. Well, from the sixth hour, 12 noon, all the earth till the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, and the sun was darkened. And the veil in the temple was rent in the middle. Verse 46, And Jesus cried with a loud voice and says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost, the spirit. Now, when the centurion was a Roman man, that's what they did. They crucified people. And this man, he looked over all this that was happening, the sun getting dark, the rocks that split, the earthquake, and just the feeling of being in deity. Just the feeling that he experienced. I don't know if you ever had just the feeling that the presence of God is there. But I surely, at this man, has he observed all of this? What was his statement he made? When the centurion saw it was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. You know, men on the cross, they hung there and they cursed everybody as they died. They were angry at the world and angry. And this man is saying, Father, forgive them. So they know not what to do. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And this centurion saying, Whoa, I've never seen anything like this. Never. And he said, Surely this was a righteous man. Why did Jesus die on the cross? For your sin and my sin. He died. A substitutionary atonement was made for us. Are you thankful for the work of the cross? I am. Are Are you thankful